So we turn to the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. So you go all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So you just go all the way back to your Bible. Maybe you're a new Christian, don't know where Revelation is. Go all the way back and just stop there. There's where Revelation is. And it's commonly known as the Revelation to John. But more importantly, and a more accurate description, is the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and it reads, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Let us pray together. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, will you bless in Jesus' name the reading and preaching and teaching of your eternal word? Help me to preach it with accuracy, with gentleness and respect and passion. And all those who listen, help them to receive it and be changed by it, so we may be more like your Son by the reading and preaching and teaching of this word. We ask the blessing upon it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants. Revelation is to uncover or to expose, to make known. And so this revelation to Jesus Christ is real clear. So God has given this revelation to John about Christ, and you can think of it like we are just eavesdropping on this letter. Let's just eavesdrop for a moment. God has given this word to the bondservant John, and it's the exposure, it's the uncovering of who Jesus Christ really is. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in the Greek is Iesus Christos. And Christ is the anointed one. It's the designation. It's the same as the Hebrew word Messiah. It's the anointed one, the chosen one. And Jesus was his earthly name. Lots of people in that day were named Jesus. Christ is not his last name. That's his designation as the Christ, the Son of God, the anointed one. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father, God of heaven, God of all creation, gave who? Gave, it says him, gave Jesus to show to his bondservants. See, God has given this revelation to Jesus. And we're going to talk about why God has given this revelation to Jesus Christ. We're going to have some questions. Well, isn't Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God? God come to earth? Yes. So you may think, well, why has God given this revelation to Jesus? Isn't he omniscient, omnipresent? Yes, he is, of course. And we're going to talk about why God has given this revelation to Jesus in a moment through these scriptures. And so the next passage in this verse, it says, the things which must soon take place. You know, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you can count on prophecy being fulfilled. You can just read the Old Testament and read out prophecy and say, well, those things have taken place. The Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament. So you can read in the Old Testament about Zechariah and Isaiah and all the prophets prophesying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was going to come to earth, that the sacrifice for all sins of mankind were going to take place. So these things that are laid out in Revelation are going to happen. It's going to happen. Be sure of that. Prophecy, there's fulfilled prophecy and there's prophecy that is told for the future. This is going to happen. So read it carefully. These things must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Here's a question. Why did God choose to use angels to bring this message to John on the island of Patmos? Well, that was his sovereign will. That's God's way in this particular time, in this particular day, in that particular era, to use an angel to communicate this word to John. And also, all through the book of Revelation, you'll see angels in Scripture a lot in the book of Revelation. So God is using angels in the book of Revelation like he used them earlier on in the Gospels in the New Testament. So, as he's communicating it to his angels, to his bondservant John. John is the Apostle John. He wrote the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He wrote the first three, the three epistles of John 1, John 2, and John 3. And John is also, obviously, the writer of Revelation as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 2. Who testified to the what? Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Now, here's a question for you. Testimony cannot be denied. You have a testimony if you're a Christian, right? You knew how you were before you met Christ. You knew how the things you were doing before you met Christ. Now, if you have a testimony, you can tell people about how you met Christ, how you repented of your sin, and how Christ is changing you and conforming you into his image. It won't be perfect obedience all the time, but you should notice a difference in your life. If you're not a new creation, you haven't been made new. And so if you are a Christian, and this book of Revelation was given to Christians, the seven churches at Asia Minor, we'll talk about those guys, those churches in a minute, is that you have a testimony. Nobody can say, no, that's not true. Oh, yes, it is true. Testimony cannot be denied by anybody. You have your testimony. Stick to your testimony. If you have that testimony, say it with conviction. Say it with faith, knowing that God has transformed your life. Even through the difficult times. And so, who testified to the what? Word of God. Here we go. Everything is based on what we're reading today. Everything is based on the Word of God. The inspired, the inerrant, the infallible Word of God. Are Christians reading it like they ought? No, of course not. But here, he testified to the Word of God. It's always going to be about the living Word. It's written on pages for you in black and white and sometimes red. Here's a question for you. Are you reading the Word of God? And so God is bringing this testimony to John through the Word. And to the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. It's the testimony that Christ is who He said He was. He did what He said He was going to do. And He's where He said He was going to be. And He's coming back the time He said He was going to come back. It's going to be what? Soon. It's soon. And Scripture is always soon. Because 1,000 years is a day to God. People have been mocking, oh, where's your Jesus at? Back in the New Testament and the Gospels, He's always been coming soon. Where's your Jesus coming? When is He coming back? Well, you can always say soon. And you're not going to be lying to anybody. You're going to be telling the truth according to Scripture. And so the testimony was through the Word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, God come to earth as man. Even to all, look at the word all. Even to all that He saw. See, John is getting this revelation from God, and he's going to write down some things he was probably confused about later on in the book. But he has seen everything that God has given him, and even to all that he saw. So he's going to say, hey, I'm just writing down what God gives me through inspiration. So it's good testimony. Look at verse 3. Blessed. Who's blessed according to Scripture? Well, it's going to tell us who's blessed right here. It's not a mystical interpretation of what blessed is. People walk around saying, I'm blessed, you're blessed, he's blessed. Why? Well, the Bible's definition for blessed is this. Ready? I'll read verse by verse. Blessed is what? He who does what? That's where we're missing it. That's where we're missing it. Blessed is he who reads the inspired Word of God. Not being lazy. Trying to get all your inspiration and Scripture on TV. Blessed is who? He who reads, and those who what? Hear. So it's not enough to read, but you have to apply it in your life. You have to hear with your heart. You can always hear with your ears and not really hear. You can see with your eyes, but not really see. So first you got to read. I want to be blessed. And you do too. But I want to be blessed according to what God's Word tells me what blessings are. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear, goes back to what? The words of this prophecy. Now that's going to be something you want to think about as you listen to this message, is that blessed is he who hears the words of this particular prophecy, the book of Revelation he's speaking of in particular. But all God's Word can be considered prophecy because it's inspired by God. And so it's all Scripture is given by inspiration of God from Genesis to Revelation. But this is the only book in the Bible that has a unique and special blessing on it, because I can read it in verse 3. I can read it in verse 3. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy. And what? Well, let's leave all this out, because it's easy to read God's Word or hear God's Word. But it says, blessed are those who heed the things which are written in this book. What does heed mean? Well, it means to obey. Oh, Lord, do I have to obey that? Oh, yeah, we want to read good stories in the Bible, and we want to hear good sermons. But does it change and transform your life to be more like Christ? And so you've got to read, and you've got to hear, and you have to obey to get blessed. People say, well, I don't know why God's not blessing me. Oh, everybody else is getting blessed. Oh, read the Word. Do what the Word says do. Read and obey and heed to it the things which are written in it. See, how simple can it be? How simple can it be? Read what's written in it. Hear the words of it. obey it, and be blessed. You're looking for a blessing? There it is. It's free of charge. Blessed are those who heed, which are written in it, for the time is what? It's always near. You may die today. I may die today. People are dying and seeing God. The question is, where would you spend eternity if that happened? Jesus is coming back soon. The time is near. It's always soon. And Jesus wants to, for us to think of these things, so it encourages us that if He could come any day and take His children out of this world, so it gives us motivation to live an obedient life. If you knew Jesus was coming at sundown today, your life may change. And so John, oh, by the way, that's a beatitude. The verse 3, blessed is like Matthew chapter 5. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Blessed are those who are meek in spirit. Read chapter 5 of Matthew. Those are beatitudes. Those are things that Christians do. You don't do those things to become a Christian. That would be salvation by grace, by works. But salvation is by grace. So if you're truly a Christian, you will do all those things. And if you're truly a Christian, you'll hear these words. You will obey them because you read them. Not because it's an obligation. You obey God because you love Him. I mean, would your children, when they obey you, if you have them, doesn't it make you think that they love you when they do what you tell them? It won't be perfect obedience, but their heart is should be in the right place, or should too, as Christians. And so John in verse 4, to the seven churches that are in Asia, and that's modern day Turkey, look what he says. Grace. Grace to you and peace. Here's the words of this prophecy for those who are listening. Grace is God's unmerited favor for the infinitely ill-deserving. Grace cannot be earned by anything a man can do, or it wouldn't be grace. If you walked up to me and said, here's a brand new BMW, and you gave me the keys for it, and it was worth $80,000. And I took those keys, and I rode around the block. I came back to you, and I said, yeah, it's nice and everything, but I'm feeling guilty about it. I pulled out a dollar bill in my pocket to give you $1 bill for the BMW that's worth $80,000. How would you feel? He would feel insulted that I would give you a dollar for an $80,000 BMW. You gave it to me for a gift. And God gives the gift of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, at no charge for those who truly repent of their sins and put their faith in Him. So you can't work your way into God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's nothing you can do. You can't keep sacraments. You don't have to worship on a certain day. You don't have to be baptized and dunked in water to be saved. You do it where you are through repentance and faith in Christ. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. That's grace to you and what? Peace. It means grace be unto you. May you have peace in God through Christ, no matter what your circumstances are. Because you know what's going to happen? If you look at the apostles' lives through Scripture, their life got worse and worse and worse and worse. They suffered dramatically for the cause of Christ. And nobody can tell you that your life is going to get better with conviction. Because it's not true. I hope it does. But I know that God takes care of His own. He takes care of those sparrows out there. And you're worth much more than sparrows if you're a child of God. Be encouraged with grace and peace. So may you have grace, may you have peace from who? Your next door neighbor? No, it says from Christ. From God who is and who was and who is to come. He always was. God had no beginning. He always is. He was there in Scripture 2,000 years ago. He's still alive today, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And He always will be for the remainder of eternity. You can't put a finger on that. Eternity past, eternity future. He always was, He is, and He is to come. Christ is. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne. Seven spirits is as a way of saying the Holy Spirit has seven manifold gifts that He does. And God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And seven spirits means that, speaking of the Holy Spirit here, is completeness. Complete. Seven is the designation for completeness in Scripture. So He's saying the Holy Spirit is complete who are before His throne. When you worship God, you worship Him in spirit and in truth. And who gives you that power to worship God that way? The Holy Spirit. Perfectly complete. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to worship God, and the throne of grace is always open for those who come to Him with brokenness and contrition over sin, knowing that God is perfectly holy and we are sinful. And from Jesus Christ in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the what? The faithful witness. Interesting term. He was faithful in every way when He came to earth. He came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a completely sinless life. What did He do? He performed signs, miracles, and wonders, proving that He was indeed the Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament. So He was faithful to the Father. He always obeyed the Father. He did the will of the Father. And Jesus Christ was always a faithful witness. He was here on earth. He did the Father's work. And He's the firstborn of the dead. That doesn't mean that He was a created being. He always was from eternity past. Jesus was. All things were made by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus, the Bible says. The firstborn here means preeminence. Back in the Hebrew culture, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac wasn't the firstborn, but he was the preeminent son. And so when they talk about the firstborn of creation, that's what that means. Jesus was not created. He was God incarnate. And so He was the firstborn of the dead. He was the resurrection and the life. All those who put their faith in Him will never see death. He is the firstborn of the dead. And what else is He? And the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is what? King of kings? Lord of lords? He is the heir of all things? He is the holy and righteous one? The ruler of the kings of the earth. And to Christ, this is very encouraging. Verse 5, the last part of it. To Him who loves us. You could just stop right there, couldn't you? Did He just say that? Did He just say He loved us? Well, let's read the rest of the verse. He said, to Him, Jesus Christ, who loves us. Really? Well, how did He love us? He what? It says it right here. He released us. What did He release us from that's so great? From our sins. You were bound up in sin. The power of sin was upon you. And the penalty of sin was upon you. Dying in your own sins without the forgiveness that God has provided through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you will stand before God and pay for every sin that you've ever committed. And He has released us from the power and the penalty of sin. But you have to come to Him by faith and repent of sin before you can be released from your sins. You know what a lot of people are doing? They're just, somebody's telling them, just say this prayer.
Just say this prayer.
Oh, really?
You want to go to heaven? Yeah.
Sure.
Well, just say this prayer. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to live in my heart. I want to obey you the rest of my life. Amen. That's not a sinner's prayer. That's not what salvation is. You don't just ask Jesus in your heart. It says believe upon Him. Put your faith in Him. Realize that you have broken God's law, that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. And then be released from your sins. But how did He release us from His sins? He had to shed His blood as the sacrifice that God was pleased with. Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. See, back in the Old Testament, they sacrificed the blood of bulls and goats, didn't they? The priest would do that at the Holy of Holies. He would sacrifice that blood of those animals for the people of Israel to redeem them from their sins. But that was only temporary. That had to happen over again and again and again and again, year after year after year after year. But Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, 100% man, 100% God, lived a perfect life. God was sacrificed with His payment on the cross. So when He shed His blood once and one time only, that was it. So He released us from our sins by His blood that was shed on the cross. And without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no forgiveness of sin. And He has made us to be what? I like this. This is the part of the blessing in prophecy. He has made us to be a what? A kingdom. Are you part of the kingdom of God? Not everybody is. And for that matter, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That means not everybody that's saying they're a Christian is a Christian. Just because they said a prayer. And so, but He has made us, those who are truly a born-again Christian, He has made us to be a partakers of the kingdom of God. And that's eternal rewards. Don't store your treasures on earth where moths and rust can corrupt them. Store them in heaven where they're for eternity. The kingdom is now, but the kingdom to look forward to is a short while because you're going to die soon. You're going to die soon. It's always soon. He has made us to be kingdom, to be a kingdom, and what? Priest. Priest means if you're a child of God, washed in the blood of Christ, you're truly a sheep of God, you can go to God anytime you want to. You don't have to wait for the priest like they did in the Old Testament. You can go right to the throne. You need forgiveness of sins? It says here you're a priest of God because of the work of Jesus Christ. You can go to God as a priest to the throne of grace and find forgiveness. And what does that do to His God and Father? He's talking about Jesus. God is the Father and God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the dominion. How long? Forever and forever. You're going to live forever and forever somewhere when you escape this earth. Death is only the beginning. And so behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will what? See Him. Even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over Him. So let it be so. Amen. Amen. In other words, there's not going to be any mistaking when Christ comes for His church. Are you ready? There it is. Are you wearing clothes of righteousness? Are you still wearing those old muddy clothes? And if He came today, would you be ashamed at His coming? Because see, we have to understand that our circumstances in our life, as bad as they may be, do not give us an excuse for living an unholy life. And so those who pierced Him, the Jewish people, His own people, they pierced Him on the cross. They denied Him. He was prophesied in the Old Testament. And when He came and walked among them, Jesus did, they denied Him. He was right there performing miracles. And all they wanted to do was see another miracle. And Jesus said this, I'm not going to show you any more miracles. Because if I did, you still wouldn't believe. And people are asking God for miracles before they come to God. Yes, God, show me a sign and I'll think about coming to you and living for you. Dangerous. Dangerous. And those who pierced him, they'll see him. And all the tribes of the earth, that's to all the Gentile tribes and unbelievers, they will mourn over him. That doesn't mean that they'll mourn at repentance. Some will, some won't. But they'll be weeping. They'll be weeping because they know it's too late. They'll be left behind. And so here's the thought. That's who Jesus is. The next verse is a sermon in itself. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is claiming right here to be God. Jesus is God. He claimed to be God. Lord God is God. Creator God. I am. Notice the word I am. He says in John, remember, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door of the sheep. All the I am statements in John. Before Abraham was, I am. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Letter A and letter Z. 26 letters of the alphabet. You can uncover all the mysteries out of 26 letters. You can put them all together in certain orders and they will reveal mysteries to you. 26 letters. And he says, I'm the A and the Z. I'm everything. That's why he said, I'm the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Says the Lord God, Jesus did, says the Lord God, He is and He was and He is to come, the Almighty. The only Almighty in Scripture is God, Jesus claiming to be God. Do you believe that? Have you confessed Him as God? Have you confessed your sins before God? Have you said to God, God, I've broken all your commandments. If I got what I deserve, Lord, I would spend eternity in hell because that's the place of torment and it's not your will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Have you repented and put your faith in Christ as Lord God? Let us pray together. Father, we're so grateful for this word in Revelation. It's so much more to say, but we just touched the surface and skimmed it a little bit and I pray that I preached it with as much accuracy and compassion as I could. I pray that all those who listen will be transformed by the word that Christ is Lord God. And Father, I pray for those who are listening to this message who have never put their faith in Jesus as Lord God and repented of their sins. I pray that today will be the day of salvation. And Father, those who are listening to this message that are truly your sheep of your pasture, give us, as it says in Scripture, grace and peace. I don't know if the storms will go away, but I know, Father, that you could give us the peace that passes the understanding. So, Father, what will you do that? We ask it humbly and with all reverence and honor. For us in Christ's name we pray, and for His sake we ask. Amen. Amen.